you for joining us for live paranormal radio. From the paranormal to the unexplained, it all happens here.
It all happens here.
Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in our live video chat 24/7 with our live paranormal radio show hosts and other like-minded people. Live. Paranormal.com, the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interaction Media. Stop by now and join the fun.
Stop by now and join the fun.
Hi, this is Dana Workman from Haunted Highway on Sci-Fi, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Boom.
This is Bill Murphy of Sci-Fi Channel's Fact or Fake Paranormal Files, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
This is Christopher Sanders with My Ghost Story on Biography. You are listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
And Michael Perry.
And we're here, hello, we're here at The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli and weekly...
LiveParanormal.com.
Weekly at LiveParanormal.com.
Hey everybody, this is Rex Williams, the medic from Destination Truth, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com.
This is Stefan Brigati from Pacific Coast Paranormal, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. She rocks!
This is True TV's haunting evidence investigator, Patrick Burns.
And Ghost Huntress author, Marley Gibson.
And you're listening to Ghost Host. Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Professor Lloyd Auerbach, parapsychologist, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com.
This is author Alexandra Holzer, and you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli.
Hi, this is Jeff Belanger, host of 30 Odd Minutes, founder of GhostVillage.com, and author of lots of your favorite paranormal books, and you're listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia, on LiveParanormal.com. Boo!
This is Nick Groff, executive producer of Ghost Adventures, the original documentary in Ghost Adventures, season 1 through 10, and executive producer of Ghost Stalkers, author of Chasing Spirits, the building of the Ghost Adventures crew, and founder of NickGroffTours.com. You are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com. Tune in.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Celebrating her 9th anniversary as the Ghost Host, it's Sophia Temporelli right here on LiveParanormal.com.
The Ghost Host.
Oh, sorry about that, a little lag in the queue there. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com, and also, too, just we're getting Steve Shippey coming through, too, as well, so I'm just texting with him. He's trying the number one more time. But it's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com, and feel free to call into the show, 347-202-0316. That's 347-202-0316. I see Steve in the queue. He finally made it there, so good. I'm glad he got the message. Thank you, Rob Sirk, the site founder of LiveParanormal.com, for providing this format each and every week, and to all of our moderators. Guys, thank you so much for patching us through at live events when we had no internet feed, and thank you guys for all your support over the years. Hope everyone's keeping safe. Today we welcome back Travel Channel's Haunting in the Heartland host investigator, strange music recording artist, and Haunted Saginaw director Steve Shippey. In Travel Channels, the Holzer Files psychic medium, automatic writing communicator Cindy Kaza, is both promote Ed Gein, The Real Psycho, debuting on Discovery Plus. It actually debuted last night, April 9th. So subscribe to Discovery Plus today to enjoy. Everyone visit hauntedsaginaw.com, at The Real Prozac, at mediumcindykaza.com, at mediumcindykaza, at Cindy Kaza as well, and at Discovery Plus. Coming up, we have renowned psychic intuitive Rick Hayes returning to the program on the 1st of May. IWARP paranormal investigator Randy Liebeck will be on the program April 22nd. Also, Portals to Hell with Jack Osborne and paranormal researcher Katrina Weidman will be on the programming upcoming. They're just securing their dates. So, like the ghost host, Sophia Temporelli, on liveparanormal.com Facebook fan page, just to learn of the guests as we learn of them real time. Let me bring the ghost host in right now. Let's see, a little muting. There we go. Sophia, congratulations on over 9 years of broadcasting here.
Hey, thank you. I can't believe it's already been 9 years.
You're doing a fantastic job. You've helped a lot of people through the years. And you got all these websites. You got things everywhere. We're also taping this for YouTube. So there will be a YouTube post of your in-studio. So that will be edited together with images, too, as well. And thank you, Discovery Plus, for allowing today's show. That's fantastic. Where can people find you?
I'm on Twitter, at Sophia Temporelli with 1L, and Instagram, just at Sophia Temporelli.
All right. Tell us about our guest today.
Today, we welcome back Travel Channel's Haunting in the Heartland host investigator and Haunted Saginaw director, Steve Shippey, and Travel Channel's The Holzer Files psychic medium automatic writing communicator, Cindy Kaza, is both promote Ed Gein, The Real Psycho, debuting on Discovery Plus last night, April 9th. Everyone visit hauntedsaginaw.com at The Real Prozac, mediumcindykaza.com at mediumcindykaza, at Cindy Kaza, and at Discovery Plus. Make sure to go check it out and subscribe to watch all of their exclusive and original new content. Let's welcome them both back into the show.
Okay, I'm trying to unmute the microphones right now as we speak, and there we go. We have them in the studio for you.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Hey, thank you both so much for coming on today and coming back on the show. Congratulations on the Ed Gein, The Real Psycho episode and, you know, storyline on Discovery Plus.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
So to start off, what was it like for you guys to be, you know, a part of such, I mean, really such an infamous case as the Ed Gein case? Did you guys feel kind of just a sense of responsibility to, you know, kind of the victims and the family members alive still from, you know, all the victims of Ed Gein?
Definitely. Cindy, you want to start with this one?
Yeah, sure. You know, it's one of those cases where first, you know, everybody, most people know who Ed Gein is, right? So many horror movies have been made, mm-hmm. you know, about his life and the things that he did. And going in as a psychic medium and investigating this case, you know, you have to handle it with kid gloves, because I think it would be very easy for people to just say, oh, he was possessed by a demon. It's like, oh, mental illness is mm-hmm. real, and that doesn't make him possessed by a demon, and really feeling into, like, what is happening in this case, what happened. And so I think that, you know, we had to be responsible and really careful and really feel into what is really going on here, because otherwise it just would have been disrespectful to the community, to the victims, and you know, to everybody. So I was very mindful of that walking into that case, for sure.
Yeah, I couldn't agree
absolutely.
More. And I guess, you know, from my standpoint as an investigator and as a documentarian, you know, we wanted to make sure that we were, you know, very gentle with the community. You know, people will see when they watch Ed Gein, The Real Psycho. We did go to the local mm-hmm. cemetery to try to gain some more information. The wounds aren't healed out there in Plainfield, and some of the locals were a little bit upset by our presence, and we can understand, you know, they are not sure what our intentions, you know, may have been, so we left, and, you know, we were very mindful the whole time, basically from every vantage point, to be respectful to both the victims, the community, and to take all things into consideration.
Well, it's great, you know, you both went in like that. I'm sure it was especially, you know, kind of hard for you, Cindy, just based on what you pick up and feel as a psychic medium. How were you both initially approached to be a part of this, and what was it like knowing that it was going to be exclusive to Discovery Plus?
Well, as far as, you know, as far as I'm concerned, my end of it, I was contacted by an individual and a producer, and they said, listen, we've got a really hair-raising case coming up. Your name keeps coming up. We think that you might be the investigator for this. Do you know who Ed Gein is? And then instantly I just started rattling off a bunch of facts about Gein because I've studied him quite a bit. And, you know, right away they said, okay, we kind of thought you would be the guy for this. And, you know, it was pretty intimidating and shocking in a sense, just because, you know, you think about the gravity of who Ed Gein was, what he did, and what we might be getting into. But that's how I came into the picture.
Yeah, and it was similar for me where, you know, I got a call from the network saying, you know, we have this case, would you be interested in doing it? And I think that they were like, you know, are you sure you want to go into something so dark? And I was like, yeah, you know, I mean, I know Ed Gein as well. Did I know all those details? Definitely not. I definitely hadn't studied Ed as much as Steve. But, you know, it's one of those cases where, as a psychic medium, you really have to think about, do I want to put myself into the energy of this case or not? And, you know, it was challenging for me, but I think that it was an important case to go in, you know, to investigate, because I think there's a lot of things that are spread around about people, especially Ed Gein. I think Steve can probably speak more to this than I can, but I feel like we did a good job, you know, bringing forward some of the facts, right? Would you say that, Steve, and kind of dispelling some of the myths?
Yeah, definitely. There's, you know, I think because Gein was so sensationalized in so many films, you know, like Silence of the Lambs and Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, so many books, that I think sometimes the lines get blurred a little bit and some people will take some of that as fact, you know, but we're really diligent to try to get the accurate information and story of who he was and what he did.
Yeah, absolutely. It's hard to, you know, when you see stuff in media, and I think a lot of people kind of run with that and think, okay, this must be, you know, what happened. And so kind of trying to figure out what's fact from fiction can sometimes be really hard because those lines get so blurred. What was the process for both of you just really being able to actually find out the hard truth of the case?
Well, I guess for me, it comes to a standpoint of going through all the archives, the records, the reports, conducting interviews, doing a lot of research. And, you know, one wealth of information that's always kind of, you know, bar none, is going out to the community and really kind of knocking on doors and talking to people, because you'd be amazed how much, you know, information may be out there, but there's really nothing as valuable as talking to the locals and the community and people that were around for that. Generationally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And for me, you know, it's one of the things where I can hear stories. That doesn't mean that that's what I'm going to pick up intuitively. So for me, it's about stepping into a case and just trusting that what I'm getting is, it's for me, it's truth, right? And just going with that, because you know, I don't like knowing anything about a case before I go, because what could happen is it can get into your head, right? And with Ed Gein, obviously, this is a very well-known case. So many people know about it. So I, in the case, had to really just walk in and just trust that what I was getting was the truth for me, and just to give that truth. And people can take that or not take that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I remember hearing about Ed Gein for the first time actually at my high school. I don't remember if it was a psychology class or my forensics class. They kind of blur together to a certain extent. But it was really shocking to find out, you know, that that actually happened. And later on, finding out, you know, Psycho was based on the case. But it's just incredible when you find out, like, you know, there's people that can do stuff like that in the world. But when you actually really find out about the true cases, it can be shocking at times.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, and like Steve and I both, like, I think agreed on this this point, is that it's like the perfect storm of all of these things happening that created, you know, such a crazy and disturbing case. It's like the soup, right?
Mm-hmm.
The soup with a bunch of pieces that just came together. And it is definitely terrifying that any human being could be capable of what Ed Gein was capable of.
Absolutely. And I know you can't reveal too much, but can you tell the audience what they can expect from watching Ed Gein, The Real Psycho, on Discovery Plus?
A lot. Definitely. Cindy and I went very deep into this case. They can expect to see a lot of information about Dean, who he was, the dynamics that made him who he became and what he did, a lot of his backstory. They can expect us to, they can expect to see multiple investigations. Like, you know, like you're saying, you don't want to give away too much, but me personally, I was astounded at the level of activity that we captured. And working with Cindy was incredible, because time after time, when she was having experiences in these locations, my meters were all going off in conjunction with what she was feeling, what she was seeing. We knew there was going to be activity, but the level of activity to me personally was mind-blowing.
Yeah, I agree, Steve, and I love working with Steve as well. You know, it was such a great experience. And I think it's funny because when you watch the show, like, I get freaked out by technology going off. And I think people sometimes are surprised. They're like, well, she's a medium. Why did that freak her out? And it's like, you know, it's like, well, because I'm so used to hearing everything in my mind or seeing things clairvoyantly. So when what I'm experiencing is then validated through technology, it's like, wow, this is actually happening. Like, this is amazing, right? It's like this double validation that every medium wants. And so it was one of those moments, or several moments in the case, where I just was so excited to be able to work with Steve and also be able to work with this equipment that was validating what I was getting. And it is just pretty terrifying. I mean, I get scared too sometimes, you know, and especially, you know, when the woman was screaming, you know, at the end, coming through the that's a geoport, right? Steve, help me with my equipment.
Yeah, the geoport.
Yeah, I mean, I completely agree. I mean, I'm not psychic medium, but when you're sitting in the dark sometimes and equipment goes off, it can be kind of startling, especially when you don't know what's coming through, and sometimes you can hear things that you wouldn't expect, like you were saying, a scream, and it's not normal. I mean, that's what we do, but it still doesn't make it super normal for us to, you know, kind of experience and deal with all the time.
Yeah.
But with the case, I know that there's so much information, facts, that can be found out, like you said, from the locals or, you know, archives, like Steve said. Without revealing too much, what was the most fascinating or interesting piece of information or fact that both of you found during your time researching?
Man, there was a lot, definitely a lot for me. Me personally, I think there was a couple of things that I walk away with that, you know, stick with me on this case. One of them was at the Washura County Historical Society, which used to be the old jail. There was a lot of records there that I got to go through for a while, and I could see some of the confessions, some of the reports, and there was a lot of information in those reports that surprisingly aren't public, some really, really key factors about the case. And I was very surprised that, you know, having watched everything on Gein, read up on everything, it's not out there. But yet, I guess if somebody wants to really seek it out, they can. But I guess other than that, mostly for me, was what Cindy was getting, you know, because you can't get that anywhere else, obviously, without somebody who has her gift. So to be able to learn more about what made Ed the monster he became, the dynamic with his mother. You know, there was a point where, you know, we were feeling horrible for him at one point, you know, and you find yourself in the midst of that thinking we're having empathy for this horrible man. But at the same time, you know, there was, you know, like all humans, there's a point where everyone is innocent as a child, and, you know, he was more or less created. But so that's kind of what sticks with me the most.
Yeah, Steve, you know, I think I agree with you on that point, because going into the case, I really didn't know what I was going to experience as a medium or what I was going to feel, or, you know, and I think I was surprised by how present his mother was. And I think I was, I guess now looking back, right, like it all makes sense. But before I went in, I just didn't understand the depth, you know, to which his mother really influenced him and created him. Because it's so easy to look at Ed Gein and just say, oh, he's a monster, he's a horrible person. But there's more to it, right? And really really sensing mm-hmm. that and feeling that was something that I guess I didn't expect. I didn't expect that.
Yeah, I mean, that's amazing that you picked all of that up and, you know, just the information you found out that wasn't known to the public. So everyone make sure to check out all of that information on Discovery Plus. If either of you or both of you could do a follow-up to this case or any other, you know, forensic or cold case, just any crime in general, would you want to? And if it's a different case, what one would it be?
There's a lot of cases. Yeah, I completely agree. Yeah, working with Cindy on any case, 100%. You know, it's interesting. I've done a lot of interviews lately, and a lot of people have been asking me, you know, is this something that you're trying to pursue all the time now? Or are you guys, or, mm-hmm. Singly, are you guys going after serial killer cases? But, you know, and not trying to speak for Cindy, but I don't really think either of us got onto this case because of Gein specifically, trying to go after cases that involve serial killers. But, you know, it was very interesting. I've never done a case surrounding an infamous person. Would I do it again?
Mm-hmm.
If we could help the community, if all the situation was right, possibly, but I'm not necessarily looking to only explore those type of cases.
Yeah, I agree with you, Steve. I mean, I would work with Steve in a heartbeat. You know, I think if I could give a case that I would love to explore would be Jack the Ripper. Like, I think that would be a really interesting one to explore. But I certainly wouldn't limit it to just serial killers either.
Yeah, well, Jack the Ripper is definitely an interesting case. You know, it's still, there's so many theories surrounding it, but it's also still largely unsolved with people thinking they know who actually committed the crimes, but also no one's actually been, you know, set in stone for this is the exact killer as Jack the Ripper. So, you know, with Ed Gein, at least you know, like, okay, this, the start and end is with him, but with Jack the Ripper, there's still so many unknowns.
Yeah.
That would be a fascinating
case. And that's the tricky thing. I'm sorry. I don't mean to talk. I was just going to say, you know, that's an interesting point, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of unknowns. Nobody really knows who did it. And when you dive into that and start uncovering things, you're like, oh, no, am I accusing? Like, you can see all these impressions. You're like, I definitely wouldn't want to accuse the wrong person. Or, you know, because I think a lot of people misunderstand sometimes how impressions work for psychic mediums. Like, we can see, feel, hear, know things, right? And it can be like we're getting little mm-hmm. breadcrumbs or pieces of the puzzle. And until you have the validation and you start really digging deeper, I mean, I don't know. I think about it, and I can only imagine all the things that could come out and all the twists and turns, right? I mean, it would be fun.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, that would be a fascinating case.
Solving crimes, or at least, you know, trying to find out more information on them, especially something as old as that, is really fascinating to just feel like you're kind of a part of that puzzle and trying to figure it out and just know more than sometimes the public knows. I mean, what you gather, Cindy, is really, it's so personal and special to you because not everyone can have that ability or gift to hear things from the other side. So it's really amazing, you know, that you can pick up on stuff like that.
Well, thanks. I really feel, honestly, like honored to have been able to work on this case and work with Steve and to work with the spirit world. You know, I don't take it for mm-hmm. granted. So thank you. Yeah.
Well, absolutely. And I know we've talked a lot about the Ed Gein case, which everyone should also check out on Discovery Plus. Make sure to subscribe and watch all of the original content they have on there. But let's talk a little bit about both of you as investigators. For anyone listening who doesn't know or just wants to know more about you, let's start off with you, Steve. What initially started you as a paranormal investigator, or really kind of drew your interest into wanting to investigate?
Sure. Well, I grew up in a house that was haunted when I was a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, a lot of information there, but at the end of the day, that's what started the journey for me, you know, and I kind of think that there's kind of more or less two ways you can go, I feel like, when you have a paranormal experience, it probably even maybe more so at a younger age. When something like that happens to you or happens to you repeatedly, first of all, you question everything. It changes your mm-hmm. outlook and your perspective on the world, and you can either run away from that and want absolutely nothing to do with it and hope it, you know, never happens again, or I think it leaves a kind of a burning desire in you to find out why. What is this? How could this be? And I guess for me, you know, that's what happened.
Yeah, I mean, for sure. I lived in a... Oh, go ahead, Cindy.
No, sorry. Go ahead. I'll wait until after you're done. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, yeah, I lived in a haunted house, too, when I was younger, and those experiences really do change you as a person. I mean, when you can experience something that not everyone else can, I mean, someone lives in a house, it's completely normal, fine, everything's regular, but when you live in a haunted house, it really does change your perspective on the world and just wanting to know what is actually out there, what's causing this, and, you know, you kind of wonder, why am I the one experiencing it?
Yeah, and it's the same thing with mediumship, right? Mm-hmm. Like, a lot of people have these experiences that, you know, as young children, mediums, and that was what happened to me. I had my first experience that I can remember when I was 10 years old, and it terrified me, but it, you know, it never mm-hmm. went away. And so then I walked through majority of my, you know, childhood and adolescent years and teenage years, like not understanding my abilities. And it really, it took me a while to step into, you know, this ability because I tried to push it away for so long. And it's like kind of like with Steve, like you either push it away or then you embrace it. And then once I decided, like, this is part of who I am and it's okay, and I decided to embrace it, then everything changed. And there's no looking back because it changes the way that you walk mm-hmm. through life. And, you know, paranormal for me or psychic investigation, really with Holzer Files was the first, wasn't the first time, but it was really the first time that I decided to start doing more paranormal investigations on a regular basis. Because prior to that, I was touring the U.S. doing mediumship live reading. So for those of you who, you know, don't know that about me, that's like my thing. I've trained at the Arthur Findlay College. I'm an evidential medium. I do a lot of readings and bring through people's loved ones from the other side, and I've studied automatic writing and psychometry and all these other things for years. And, you know, paranormal and mediumship are under the same umbrella, but they can be separate. So it was really, you know, a great opportunity for me to be a part of, you know, to be asked to be on the Holzer Files, where mediumship is really valued and where Hans Holzer really valued the use of trans mediums in his investigations. It was the Holzer method, you know? And so it was, you know, really a great opportunity for me to be able to utilize all the things that I've been studying for all these years and to use my automatic writing on television, because I never thought that that was something I'd be able to do, or maybe I never thought people would get it. So it's been very, very mm-hmm. cool.
Yeah, absolutely. It's great that you're able to, you know, share your gifts to the masses now, because, you know, the paranormal is such a small community, even though it is kind of big. So it's great to just see other investigators and psychic mediums just really, you know, putting out the word about the paranormal and just showing, you know, people who maybe have an interest or are just curious about the paranormal, just the different sides to it, whether it's investigating or mediumship.
Yeah, and it's interesting because in the mediumship community, it's like when you ask some of the mediums that I've known for years, I'm like, hey, do you want to go do a paranormal investigation? And they're like, no, that's mm-hmm. not my thing. And I think it's so funny. And then you hear paranormal investigators that are like, I don't work with mediums. I'm like, yeah, but aren't we all like kind of doing the same thing? So it's funny, you know, like but it's been great to be able to become a part of the paranormal community. I've really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it really is, you know, it's a great community, and I actually think we have a mutual friend, Jennifer Schaefer, too, so it's great seeing.
Yes, she's one of my best friends. I love her. Yeah,
she's amazing. I think I was actually the first show that she was interviewed on, like, paranormal-wise, so it's really great to just see, like, all the connections, too, in the field. and just everyone really coming together, like you and Steve, to film Ed Gein, The Real Psycho. So it's really great to just see everyone just coming together and stuff. I know we have to take a quick commercial break, but we'll be right back with more questions.
It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. Our guest today, we welcome back Travel Channel's Haunting in the Heartland host investigator, strange music recording artist, and Haunted Saginaw director Steve Shippey, and Travel Channel's The Holzer Files psychic medium, automatic writing communicator Cindy Kaza, as both promote Ed Gein, The Real Psycho, debuting on History Channel last night, April 9th. So subscribe to Discovery Plus today. Everyone visit HauntedSaginaw.com. At The Real Prozac, at MediumCindyKaza.com, at MediumCindyKaza, at CindyKaza2 as well, and at Discovery Plus. It's the Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. We'll be right back.
Hi, this is Dustin Perry, the Paranormal Rockstar, and you're listening to The Ghost Host with the most, Sophia Temporelli, only on LiveParanormal.com.
For joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. The only interactive social chat room supported by full interactive media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.
Hey, this is Zach Bagans from Ghost Adventures, and you are listening to the Ghost Host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
Not only am I Dave Schrader, but I'm Dave Schrader of Travel Channel's The Holzer Files. And you're listening to Ghost Host Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. I feel left out. I wanted to throw myself into your mix of voiceovers now.
I love it. You know, it's almost like we didn't leave break.
And Cindy, of course, knows those two guys laughing there and joking with Sophia. As I try to unmute everybody, it's a little slow, but... Okay, there we go. We got you all back in the studio. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you both again so much for coming on today.
Yeah, absolutely.
Funny, I was like, this traitor here? Like, what's happening?
Yeah, he definitely caught me off guard when he did that. I was like, wait, what's happening? But it sounds like it's part of the show now because I was totally confused.
Funny.
But that's just probably a weekday for me. But anyways, thank you again both so much for coming on today. Steve, can you tell us a little bit about Haunted Saginaw that you made a while ago, but where people can find it and just a little bit about it?
Yeah, sure. So for the last decade, I've released a feature-length paranormal investigation documentary. At this point, there are 10 currently available. Amazon Prime streaming. If you have a Prime account, you can stream all of them for free. Of course, you could go to hauntedsaginaw.com if you're interested in a hard copy of any of those or, you know, any likewise merchandise. And there are currently 4 more documentaries that have been completed. During the quarantine, we obviously couldn't have our annual premiere, so we just kept filming all year. So at this point, there is actually 14. 4 will be coming out soon.
Oh, wow. Well, it's great that, you know, you put the quarantine to good use and were able to film more. It's great to see, you know, kind of what people are creating during quarantine and all the amazing stuff that will be coming out.
Yeah, it's definitely given us, I think everybody, a lot of time to maybe focus on things that they wanted to get done or even kind of start some new endeavors. You know, I guess when something happens, you just make the most of it, and that's kind of what we did.
Absolutely. And Cindy, as you were mentioning earlier, you are a part of the Holzer Files cast. Can you tell us how that all came about for you? And since all the episodes have aired and you're not on promoting that, what your favorite episode was during the time filming the Holzer Files? Sorry.
Oh, that's such a hard question. I don't know if I have a favorite episode because they're all so different. That would take me a while to really think about. Let's see, how did Holzer Files come to be? So, I mean, I was basically asked if I wanted to be a part of the show called The Holzer Files, and it's kind of embarrassing, but it's honestly, it's the truth. I didn't know who Hans Holzer was before I was asked to be on the show, which shows me how, like, detached I am from the paranormal community, right? And so when the producers were explaining to me, you know, the concept of the show, I was like, wow, that sounds really, really cool that I get to go investigate these cases all these years later where mediums had been prior and see if our evidence, you know, matches up and what's going on now based on what was going on in the 50s and 60s. And I love the historical aspects of the Holzer Files because it's, you know, you watch the show, there's paranormal investigation and mediumship involved, but you're also learning something about, you know, U.S. history. And, you know, and Hans did cases all over the world, so he didn't just, you know, work in the United States, but, you know, there's that aspect of the show as well, which I think is very cool. But my favorite episode, like, honestly, I don't know. I mean, I think the Queen Mary was a pretty cool episode. I loved that one. Franklin Castle was a cool episode. I mean, I know I'm on the show, but I kind of like all of our episodes, you know?
Well, that's good, though.
They're all so different, and, so if you guys haven't seen Holzer Files, you can check it out on Discovery Plus. Season 2 just finished airing, so you can binge watch 1 and 2. It'll be fun. Have some popcorn and watch every episode like 5 times because we want a season 3. So.
Absolutely. And I agree, the Queen Mary, I mean, it's an amazing location. How could you not put it on a list of favorites? I mean, there's so much activity there, and you really never know what you're going to get.
It's true, and, you know, I think we really uncovered, like, evidence that we really didn't expect to uncover because there's so many stories that people know about the Queen Mary, and we went in and had a totally different experience. So I think even if you've seen episodes done the Queen Mary, I think we brought something totally new to the table.
For sure. And were you able to go into the pool area for people who haven't seen the show but know about the Queen Mary?
Yes. So we were able to go into the pool area. And prior to filming for the Holzer Files, I'd only been to the Queen Mary one time before, and we were not able to go into the pool area because it was closed. So we, for the Holzer Files, had the entire ship to ourselves, which was crazy. There was nobody else on the ship but us. And that's, you know, because of COVID. So it was a really unique experience and a very rare opportunity that I don't know that anybody else will be able to you know, have.
Just out of my personal curiosity, did you happen to see kind of like a shadow man in the pool area?
I didn't see a shadow man in the pool area, but I think, you know, I wonder, I think Dave or Shane, you know, so much stuff gets, you know, we film for hours and hours and only certain clips make it in, but I honestly feel like Shane did. I feel like Shane had an experience. I have to ask him, but I'm pretty sure Shane did.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen a shadow man in the pool area since I was little, and he's a pretty intense spirit. So, yeah, I don't really have much more to say about him, you see.
Yeah, there are a lot of spirits on that ship, for sure.
And do you think that since it's currently semi-abandoned, I mean, it's not abandoned, but empty due to COVID, do you think that increased the activity while you were there?
That's a really good question. Here's what I think. I think the activity is always there, right? Mm-hmm. But I feel like because so many people go there with the expectation of seeing certain spirits or they're very focused on seeing certain spirits, like other spirits just kind of get left in the shadows. And so when we're going in just being open and there's nobody else there, these other spirits that maybe people aren't paying much attention to are like full on, full force. So I always try to talk tell people, think of the other side, communicating with spirits. Think of being over there yourself and imagine that nobody's listening to you and all you want to do is tell your story. And the more somebody doesn't listen to you, the more frustrated you become. And then you start to get really kind of pissed off, right? And so I felt like we were like, you know, tapping into those spirits that people had been ignoring. And that was interesting because the activity was really strong.
Yeah, I mean, there are so many spirits on that ship with all of the history. And Steve, I also feel like that's a really good question for you since, you know, you said you filmed during COVID. Do you feel that places like the Queen Mary that are empty since the pandemic, do you feel that that increases activity at specific locations?
You know, I think it most certainly could. You know, I think that any time that there's a dramatic change, it could affect the level of activity. You know, when you're talking about a ship like the Queen Mary, how many thousands of people, I guess, per month, how many people per year are going in and out of that place? So I think, you know, the spirits are used to a certain dynamic. And when all of that kind of stops, I certainly think there would be more activity. Plus, they kind of end up having free reign of the location as well. And then when somebody kind of comes in, then yet again, that's another disturbance. And then me personally, I would think that, you know, with all the fear and anxiety and stress and everything that happened in 2020, I think even just kind of all that energy probably does affect the spirit world, I would think.
Yeah,
I agree
also,
with you,
you
Steve.
Know. Oh, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I agree. You know, the collective fear that's happening right now in the world, right, it's its own energy. It creates its own force, which can really kind of, you know, ramp up, you know, paranormal activity. So that's an important thing to think about with all of the things going on right now. As a collective, the energy that we're creating is really powerful.
Yeah, I mean, it also just got me thinking, too, you know, some spirits, like people who are alive right now, don't necessarily like being around others. So it makes you wonder if after the pandemic, with ghosts having kind of had time to get used to the emptiness at a location, if they'll become more active and territorial once people are able to start revisiting locations.
Yeah, that'll be interesting to see, right?
Yeah, definitely. 'Cause you just never know. Like with people, ghosts, they have different personalities, different opinions, and you just never know how they're going to react to certain situations.
Yeah, for sure. I agree.
But Steve, I know you also had a show on the Travel Channel called Haunting in the Heartland. Can you tell everyone a little bit about the show and how it came about?
Yeah, absolutely. So Haunting in the Heartland is a series that that came out last year. And essentially, I was approached by a producer, and they contacted me, and they said, we've been watching your Haunted Saginaw films, documentaries. We really like what you do. We would like to help you branch out a little further, enable you to investigate around the country, but still keeping the integrity of what you do on your own. Are you interested? And so I said, you know, of course I'm interested. Let's talk a little bit more about what we're looking at here. And they mentioned Travel Channel. So, of course, I was excited right away. I've been a Travel Channel junkie for many years.
Mm-hmm.
And so we talked about it and, you know, the fact that they wanted to let me continue doing what I do and not much would change other than being able to branch out. I said, let's do it. So predominantly we wanted to stick to the Heartland region because that's kind of where I feel a little bit more comfortable. That's where I'm from, kind of my stomping grounds. And I think it's easy for me to build a rapport with people, from that likewise community. And we went out and did several investigations, and that could all be found, of course, on Discovery Plus. It's, you know, up there for viewing and Travel Channel as well.
And with all the episodes that people can currently watch, which one was your favorite to film, or what was kind of most interesting thing that happened to you while filming?
You know, of course, I'm sure you know, I'm going to say that's kind of a hard one for, you know, for different reasons, but I guess my gut instinct would tell me we did a case in Hebron, Kentucky, and very interesting case. While the homeowners are giving me a tour and describing what's happening in their home, she starts to feel as if she's being attacked and scratched, and her husband's kind of looking at her, are you okay? And she kind of lifts up her shirt a little bit, and you can see scratches basically almost forming in front of our eyes. And that really blew me away. Of course, she had told me that this has been happening and had happened several times, but to see the marks raising and being able to go back and view the footage and kind of scrub through it and see the, you know, actually forming on camera really blew me away. Mm-hmm. The backstory was pretty horrific. There was an awful murder that happened there. There was a cemetery adjacent to the property. It was the perfect storm in this particular case, you know, mm-hmm. I would have to think that would probably be the most memorable case to me.
For sure. I mean, I can't imagine what it was like for you seeing that in real time and then also being able to go back and just have verification of what you just saw actually happened.
Yeah, it was very fascinating. And, you know, we captured a lot of great evidence there. And then more importantly, we were able to help them and kind of get them on the right track, Allison and her husband. And, you know, we've stayed in contact ever since and, you know, became friends. And we really felt we made a difference there, you know, not just solidifying a haunting, mm-hmm. but helping them before we left.
And it's really good that you were able to find that closure. But with the episodes that you filmed, were there any cases that you felt like needed a follow-up or extra time spent investigating?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, there were a few cases that were pretty dark that I didn't really know whether I myself could help them to the level that they needed help, you know. But all you can do is, you know, you stay in contact with them and find out is it still happening and you know, just refer them to people mm-hmm. that you trust and just let them know that always vet people before you bring them in your home and turn them loose on, you know, either investigating or cleansing or, you know, anything of the sort.
Yeah, for sure. And Cindy, I know earlier you were talking about, you know, how you discovered your mediumship. What were kind of the steps you took to develop it? And what advice would you give to others wanting to develop their mediumship?
Yeah, so, you know, I've been a student of mediumship for many years. I guess I really started diving in and studying mediumship diligently in 2008, which means, like, I made it, like, it's like college, mm-hmm. right? Like, that's how I kind of approached it.
Yeah.
Although I've been always interested in mediumship ever since I was younger. But I went to the Arthur Findlay College, which is in Stansted, England, on and off for about 5 years. I've studied in the Netherlands. I've studied in the U.S., Then, you know, I really started exploring different cultures and traveling the world and learning from different healers to understand how mediumship is viewed cross-culturally, because I think that that's important. You know, a lot of mediums tend to experience the other side based on how they, you know, grew up and based on the culture which they were raised in. And so I really made it a point to try to understand how different cultures see spirits and experience the afterlife. So, and I consider myself to be a constant student of mediumship. And so mm-hmm. anybody that's interested in developing their mediumship, you know, like go out there and just do it. Read books, take classes. Because I think that there's a large misconception by the general public. They think that mediums just see dead people walking around and have conversations like I'm having with you, and that we should never misinterpret anything, and mm-hmm. that's just not the case. Right? That's not how it works. And,
yeah.
you know, I always kind of describe it as like playing Pictionary, charades, and telephone, because we see, we feel, we hear, we know, you know, sometimes we misinterpret an image. So there's a lot more to it than what you see on the sixth sense. And I always say, like, man, I wish it were that simple where I could see a dead person like I'm looking at my friends and have a conversation like I'm having with you. It would make life a lot easier. But it's really... you know, it's something that I think people, if you're going to do it, you need to take it seriously. You need to educate yourselves and put the time in and explore different cultures and be open-minded. You know, that's really what I think. So,
absolutely. Well, that's great advice. And Steve, what advice would you give to anyone wanting to become a paranormal investigator or learn more about the paranormal?
Well, that's a big one. I guess I would say don't, you know, first of all, you have to go into it very open-minded.
Mm-hmm.
Never think you know everything. You're always evolving. You're always learning. You'll, like Cindy said, you're always going to be a student of this. This is something that we don't know that we'll ever have all the answers. And I guess once we do, we're on the other side of that veil. But, you know, you got to be very careful especially when you're dealing with people, families, homes, property. You want to never, you know, don't instigate things just to get activity and walk away. You got to care about the people that are living there, that are going to stay there once you're gone. Be very humble, respectful, cautious, careful, spiritually guarded. Go into things with the best intention that you can. Leave things with the best intention that you can, and just keep growing. You know, and know what you're getting into, and accept that a lot of things can come with that.
Definitely. And I know we're coming towards the end of the show, but are there any websites, upcoming interviews, or events that either of you would like to mention?
Cindy, what do you got on the docket right now?
Oh, yeah. Thanks. You know, I don't have anything on my website as far as events go because of COVID right now. I'm not touring. But I am doing a lot of teaching on Zoom. I'm doing events on Zoom. So I post all of my Zoom workshops to my social media, so you can find it at Medium Cindy Keza on Facebook. I post on Instagram Cindy Keza. It's actually Cindy Keza on both. And so you can find links when I post classes. You can sign up. I'm teaching beginners mediumship. I'm teaching advanced. I'm doing mentorships. I'm doing a lot of different stuff. So that's where you can find me. And you can go to my website, MediumCindyKeza.com, to read my bio and stuff like that. But largely, I've been more active on social media since COVID.
And how about you, Steve?
And I guess for me right now, I mean, of course, you know, HauntedSaginaw.com is you know, my official website. But where I've been putting a lot of my energy and time actually is Patreon, Patreon.com/Steve Shippey. And people that become patrons of mine, they can select a tier that works for them. And I'm releasing exclusive paranormal investigation episodes on Patreon. So currently, if you sign up right away, you can access 40 investigations exclusive to Patreon. And every 2 weeks, we release a new one, anywhere between 40 minutes to 1 hour long.
Well, thank you both so much for coming on today. Everyone, again, make sure to check out Ed Gein, The Real Psycho, on Discovery Plus. And yeah, thank you both again, and I hope you have a great rest of your weekend.
Yeah,
you
for
too.
Sure. Thanks so
much
for having me back.
Well, you're welcome back anytime if you have anything you need to promote. So, yeah, the show's always open to both of you.
Okay,
thanks
thank
so
you.
Much. Have a great weekend.
Thanks. Bye, guys.
Yeah.
Bye.
Thank you guys both so much. That was an amazing show today, Sophia. Well, congratulations, Sophia, again, on 9 years of broadcasting here on LiveParanormal.com. Fantastic show.
Definitely. Steve and Cindy were such great guests. I want to thank Discovery Plus and Travel Channel for making this show possible right now. And thank you to everyone for listening. The show definitely would not be possible without all of you. And I will talk to you guys again next week. Bye.
Fantastic show. And again, there's going to be a YouTube video version of this broadcast too, with that we do with if you see Sophia's page and subscribe to it on YouTube, you can see where she sits in studio, and we put the images up there and all the links and everything to our guests too as well. And yeah, again, for Steve and Cindy, it's hauntedsaginaw.com, at the real Prozac, at mediumcindykeza.com, at mediumcindykeza. And of course, thank you again to Discovery Plus. They are at Discovery Plus on Twitter and Instagram too as well. The Ghost Host Show with Sophia Temporelli on LiveParanormal.com. We'll see everyone next week.
Hi, this is Debbie at Xeon Ghost Adventures. You're listening to The Ghost Host with your host, Sophia Temporelli, on LiveParanormal.com.
God bless you all.
Thank you for joining us on History FM Radio on LiveParanormal.com and History.fm. From paranormal to the unexplained history, it all happens here. Looking to enhance your radio experience? Participate in live interactive chat 24/7 with our radio show hosts and other like-minded people on www.liveparanormal.com. the only interactive social chat room supported by Full Interactive Media. Stop by now and join in on the fun.